What if God appointed you to share the gospel with a religious terrorist? Can you imagine the fear that would overcome you? Well, that's exactly what happened to a man named Ananias. His story is recorded in the 9th chapter of Acts. And today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll will describe how this servant of God responded. God called on Ananias to evangelize Saul, a notorious persecutor of Christians. They met together when Saul was blind in Damascus. Chuck titled his message, "The Memorable Faith of a Forgotten Hero." And we begin with prayer.
Now, our Father, we confess to you, we would love to have things transformed as immediately as that happened with Saul, but the journey of faith is full of variety and times of waiting and occasions of deep and sincere trust as you work your work among us. But we thank you for transforming us as you transform that man, for redirecting our motives, reshaping our wills, for redoing within us a whole sense of purpose and direction as you brought us from darkness to light, so that we find ourselves, of all things, unlike days past, of singing the praise of Jesus and of declaring amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It is wonderful. It is so wonderful our minds can't even conceive of it. And so with Saul, who was changed into Paul, we who are being changed into your kind of people pause to thank you. And we now give, because you are teaching us how to do that as well. We who once found delight in taking and keeping and hoarding and growing our own for our own purpose and direction are discovering the joys of generosity and the pleasure of participating in things eternal. And we do that now with the same sense of worship and trust as we have sung to you the praises of Jesus. In the name of the one who is wonderful beyond comprehension, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the life of the Apostle Paul on your own, be sure to purchase our Searching the Scriptures Bible Study Workbook by going to insight.org/workbooks. Chuck titled today's message, "The Memorable Faith of a Forgotten Hero."
I want you to get this message really clear in your mind. Ananias is a Christian. Saul kills Christians. He's been given a vision. He wonders, can I trust it? He's told Saul is near. Do I dare go, to say nothing of touch him? He has no promise that Saul really will be transformed. There are surprises and surprises and unexpected moments in this whole thing as it unfolds. And so there's a bit of an argument. Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon thy name. He's coming with papers in his hand, and they're official, and they're signed by the chief priest, and he can take any one of us under arrest, Lord. You don't understand. You're Lord. Now, the Lord didn't have to go any further. All he needed to say was go, but he tells him more. Verse 15, go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine. He's a chosen instrument of mine to do what? To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. This is not a nobody you're going to be talking to. This is a man who will become a spokesman for me. Verse 17 of Acts 9, the man departed. Ananias looks out of his house. It's night, you know. And he's walking down a street, and he finds Straight Street. He's never been there before. And he raps on the door. Yes. And the guy on the inside looks at him. He'd never seen Judas before. Judas says to him, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Ananias." "Oh, we're expecting you."
come in.
He walks in, unfamiliar house. Over there in the corner sits a man he can't see. Verse 17, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, look at the verse 20, immediately, God, when he does his miraculous work, does it like that. Immediately the scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. He arose and was baptized and took food and was strengthened. You wonder if Ananias baptized him, or maybe Judas, the owner of the home. Probably Ananias. We're not told. He took food and was strengthened. For several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately, watch this. He's like a horse, a racehorse that's been let go. Saul never did anything halfway anyway. And he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And what happened? Why, those hearing him continued to be amazed. Why, imagine that. Saul stands in the synagogue and begins to proclaim Jesus really is the Messiah. This is the man who came to Damascus. Well, look at verse 1. Breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and he went to the high priest, verse 2, asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if synagogues, remember that, we'll be back there, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Look at him here in verse 21. They continued to be amazed. Verse 20 says he was in the synagogue saying, "He is the Son of God." Talk about a transformation. Saul, probably with bloodstains still on his garment from former Christians who are now dead. And he was there for the stoning and smiling, is now standing with his arms stretched out saying, "I'm here to proclaim to you that Jesus is in fact Messiah, the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed. We get our word ecstatic from this Greek term. We might render it, the people continue to stand out of themselves in ecstatic astonishment at this violent reversal in Saul the persecutor. This is an amazing moment. You're sitting in church and you look up and there stands the man who killed one of your relatives. The man who has raped Jerusalem, the lives of Christians. And now he's standing in the synagogue telling people how wrong he was. They are amazed. It's absolutely remarkable. I like this, the way it's worded here. It tells us a little more about his approach. He proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, and they all ask, "Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on his name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" Look at the next verse. "But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving Jesus is Messiah." Sunbibadzo, it's a funny Greek word. It is the idea of knitting something together from several different strands, sort of like a macrame, or sort of like a woven garment, so that you take all the threads and you weave it together, and he puts together his message in beautiful logic with facts and information and prophetic statements and fulfilled prophecy, and he brings it down saying this one is in fact Messiah, as only Saul could do it. Isn't it great how the Lord used the brilliance of a mind like his? As the enemy once owned that mind, now the Lord has it and is transforming his message. Must have been an amazing thing to watch. Wouldn't you love to have been there? You and I wouldn't have believed it. We'd have had a hard time agreeing that this really was of God. Maybe it's a trick. But he was proving Jesus is Messiah. Now I want to show you something. We can't get into it. We'll have to do it next time around. But I want to just kind of bait you with a thought. Next verse. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. Elapsed. I'm intrigued by that. It's a very unusual word. It's many days, and they're unaccounted for. It's as if Luke has been writing of this narrative, and then he stops and says, there were many days that elapsed, and then he picks up the subject right here at verse 23, where there was a plot against him and a conspiracy, and they let him down on a basket by a wall, which is a hilarious thought. We'll get to that later. But right now, it's the lapsed time. Where was he? What happened? How was he treated? Where did he go? Hold your place in Acts 9 and go to Galatians chapter 1. Like one of my grandkids said, I want to show you chumping over here in Galatians 1. You're chumping, you need to see. Show you chumping. Galatians 1:13. This is Paul, the apostle, years later, looking back on his conversion, looking back on Ananias, looking back to Damascus, but he inserts something here very, very unusual. You don't find this written elsewhere. Listen, verse 13 of Galatians 1. You have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure, tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism, beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. That's the Damascus Road. That's on his way to the city. But when he who had set me apart, here's conversion, even from my mother's womb, he chose Saul before Saul chose him. He set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Here's what I did not do. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. You do not find Saul, after conversion, making an appointment with Peter or with James or with one of the other 11 to talk about his conversion and some of the signs of authenticity and some of the truths he needed to understand. I did not confer with flesh and blood. Didn't even go to Jerusalem to talk with those who had walked with Christ. What did he do? Verse 17, I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. It was 3 years later before I went up to Jerusalem. Back to Acts 9. If you like marking your Bibles, I would like you to put between verses 22 and 23, gone to Arabia? Question mark. Maybe he went to Arabia? Why Arabia? It's just full of sand and they raised expensive horses. What's in Arabia? Hey, that's next time. How else do I bring you back? Let me add a little thought here. I want to be careful how I say this. I think it takes the elapsed days to mature us. We all have our own Arabia. And Arabia is required course in the journey toward maturity. Because it seems like just lapsed time, we usually fight it. It's an essential part of our spiritual journey. Without it, we drift and sputter. You got to have your Arabia. For some, it's 4 years at a seminary. For some, it's 6 years of suffering, almost to the point of death. For a few, it's an involuntary time of suffering related to a broken relationship. And dreams are shattered and hope is gone. And silence becomes your context. I've never known of anyone who matured on a fast track. Not even Saul. had a lot of catching up to do, a lot of things to unlearn. And those of us who have been in a wrong place at a wrong time have known what it is to unlearn certain things. It's a lot harder than learning them from scratch and just being ignorant and having truth replace ignorance. But when you've learned things wrong, Saul had spent a lifetime learning them wrong. It takes an Arabia to shatter your world and to jolt you awake and to teach you or reteach you truth. Back to Acts 9, and let me apply all this, okay? Four quick statements. Some of you are going to need them. I rarely ask you to do it, but today I'm going to ask you to write them down. There may be a day, sooner than you think, when you're going to need these four principles, and because you will have written them down, you will have them to turn back to. Here's the first, and I'm going to use the word always, though I rarely use that word, in all four statements. Surprises are always a part of God's leading. That's number one. Surprises are always a part of God's leading. In Saul's life, it was light from heaven that struck him blind and rerouted him in his plans to go to Damascus. In Ananias' case, it was a surprise that said, "Arise, go to Saul, who is in the home of a Judas living on Straight Street in the heart of Damascus." Surprise. Surprises are always a part of God's leading. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, Paul later says to the Ephesian elders, "I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me there." Hebrews 11, verse 8 says of Abraham, "He went out from Ur, not knowing where he was going." Both of those statements, not knowing, not knowing. If you're waiting for all of the shading to get filled in, you'll never follow God. You will never follow the Lord if you can't stand surprises. You will come up against surprises, and this leads me to my second. Those surprises always intensify the need for faith. When you encounter surprises, your faith must kick in. It must kick in, or you'll turn and run the other direction. They'll be frightening. They'll be intimidating. They'll be disappointing. You'll want to argue. You'll want to fight. You'll want to bargain. They'll make you mad. But those surprises, how much better if you will let them intensify your faith. If you allow that to happen, they will always deepen or intensify your faith. It was as if God was saying to Ananias, "Quit arguing with me. Quit standing there or sitting there waiting for something else. I've told you to go. Go." Let me pause here and say something that some of you won't want to hear. Some of you are about ready to make a major move and you don't know it. Now you say, "Well, that's easy for you to say." Well, actually, it is. I'm not going anywhere unless the Lord has a plan. If it's for me, then I'm ready to go. I've learned to hold everything really loosely. But I will tell you from 66 years experience on this earth and 40 of them spent really serious about spiritual things, I can tell you the Lord's full of surprises and he's got more moves in mind for us than we think will ever happen. Some of you think you're settled here forever. Get a life. You may not be here another 2 months. Some of you may be here another 15, 20 years or the rest of your life. I don't know. And it may not be that kind of surprise for you. But I will tell you, if the Lord wants you moved, you better move. You better go. You better change. Those surprises intensify the need for faith. Here's the third. It ties in with it. Stepping out in faith always results in a further clarifying of God's plan. Stepping out in faith always results in clarifying God's plan. When Ananias went, he found out more. When Saul was in the midst of this thing with Ananias, he found out more. "You're a chosen vessel of mine. I'm going to use you to bear my name." Saul didn't know that. Saul had never read the book of Acts. He didn't know what was coming. The Lord said, "I'm going to show you how much you're going to suffer." Would Saul have ever expected that? Suffer is what he did to people. But Saul, it's going to turn. And I'm going to do my best work in you while you are in pain. Stepping out in faith always results in a further clarification of God's plan. I could keep you interested, I hope interested, for 30 minutes to tell you our story of coming from California to Texas. Some of you know some of it. None of you know all of it. You have no idea the things that have unfolded and blossomed and become clear to us having come. We saw it in a dream, as it were, plans in our hearts and minds, Cynthia and I, together. Very few other people could even grasp it. Most rejected it. And the truth of it has begun to unfold in technicolor with shading. And it's beautiful to see as we look at it now. I would have never even imagined it 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 7 years ago. Here's the fourth. Obedience always stimulates growth. When you obey, you grow deeper with Christ. Obedience always stimulates, if you want to add it, spiritual growth. I think you grow emotionally too, so I didn't specify. It always stimulates growth. Ananias, by going, got to witness firsthand what God miraculously did in Saul. No one else named ever saw the scales fall off Saul's eyes. Ananias did. It deepened him. Saul, by obeying, speaking out, literally was increasing in strength as he stood and delivered. It always drives us to go deeper, and that's where Arabia plays its part. Usually about this time, Arabia kicks in. That's next time. I began by saying, let's pretend. Let's not pretend any longer. Let's get real. This is about life today. It's not about Austria. It's not about Damascus. It's about here, it's about now, and it's about you. I'd like us to bow together, please. I don't know where any part of this message finds you, but I do know this. The Lord never wastes the preparation of a message. And He has led me in this direction to touch someone's life. Tolerate it long enough to think that might be you. Yes, you. You may be the Saul in the story, and the scales could fall off your eyes by your turning to the Lord Jesus. You may be the Ananias, the courageous messenger who, against his own wishes and will, obeyed. Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. That's the answer. Now, Father, our desire in knowing you is to grow deeper, and our desire also is for those who have never met you, that they may become so winsomely attracted to the Lord Jesus they cannot imagine life without him. And we trust you to work in their hearts to bring about that compelling desire, that contagious interest. May your Spirit do that work, Father, even as some prepare to leave this building, and as others start their cars to drive away, as some prepare lunch or spend some time this afternoon reflecting, your work of Spirit-directed communication doesn't cease. Do a work in my own heart, in my family's heart, as we come to terms with the things that have been declared today. We make ourselves available at your disposal. And now unto him who is able to guard us from stumbling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, victory and power, now and forevermore. And all the people of God said, Amen. Amen.
This is Insight for Living, and you're listening to message number 3 in an in-depth study on the life of Paul, presented by our Bible teacher, Chuck Swindoll. He titled this study, About the Impact of Ananias the Evangelist, The Memorable Faith of a Forgotten Hero. We invite you to follow along every day here on Insight for Living as Chuck allows this epic story about Paul to unfold. We're going to take our time and not rush through his biography so we don't miss any of the application. I also want to draw your attention to a brand new resource from Chuck Swindoll. It's designed to help you rise above the struggles that are so prevalent today. It's a 90-day reflective journal called Cultivating Joy in Life's Circumstances. You know, life is hard enough, and left to our own devices, we're prone to sink into despair when disappointments come our way. But this journal will guide you through 10 godly virtues that elevate our outlook, and it belongs in your collection. To purchase a copy of Cultivating Joy in Life's Circumstances, the 90-day reflective journal only available from Insight for Living, call us at 800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/offer. By the way, if you're not taking advantage of the free daily devotionals from Chuck, we invite you to do that. These emails are new and invigorating, and they're squarely founded on the inspiration that comes directly from the Bible. To sign up for the daily devotional email from Chuck, just follow the instructions at insight.org/devotionals. Thank you so much for your thoughtful financial support of Insight for Living. We couldn't provide these daily visits and the companion resources without voluntary donations from friends just like you. To send a contribution in the mail, address your envelope to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. To speak with one of our friendly ministry reps, call 800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/donate. Are you feeling exhausted by your responsibilities? I'm Bill Meyer. Chuck Swindoll describes the value of solitude, quietness, and obscurity. Next time on Insight for Living. The preceding message, The Memorable Faith of a Forgotten Hero, was copyrighted in 2001, 2003, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.